Okay, so today we're going to talk a little bit about the implementation and evaluation of a school health initiative in Indiana. I'd like to acknowledge my other contributors as well, Elisa Letter, my co-presenter, as well as Mindy Hightower-King, who will be presenting the next presentation, actually, and then Rhonda Mead of the Wellborn Baptist Foundation, who was the sole funder of this project. We have no relationships to disclose. So here's some brief background on childhood obesity. I'm pretty sure we're all familiar in this room of the increasing rates of childhood obesity and how there are many adverse health effects that occur in childhood and adulthood, and that over the course of the last couple years, the rates of overweight and obesity are really increasing. So here's some background of the population that we're going to talk about today. So as you can see, the HEROES initiative is actually the name of the program that we're going to discuss. So the dark blue lines actually represent the schools that participate in HEROES. And so we have them here compared to the whole state of Indiana, which is in the gold. So as you can see, the population we're working with has higher rates of overweight and obesity compared to the state as a whole. So here's a little bit about the HEROES initiative. It stands for Healthy, Energetic, Ready, Outstanding, Enthusiastic Schools, and it provides schools with 3 years of financial support to implement elements of the coordinated school health model. I will mention that although most of the HEROES schools were in southern Indiana, some of them were also in parts of eastern Illinois and southern Kentucky. So we're talking about maybe a 14-county radius there. So schools that make a three-year commitment to, of course, implement the coordinated school health model. And Mindy, Elisa, and I work on the external evaluation of the program. And so we provide lots of different evaluation services to the foundation, including impact evaluation, which we collect through biometric and survey data, as well as process evaluation through site visit data, which is what we're going to talk about in this presentation today. So here are the five areas of the coordinated school health model in which HEROES targets. We know that, of course, there are eight areas, but the initiative really targets these five. So kind of the idea of the program is to change the school environment. So for instance, offer more opportunities for physical activity and healthier food choices, which in turn will hopefully change the students' behaviors and choices so that they will actually participate in more physical activity and eat those nutritious foods. And then, of course, the long-term impact of the program would be to change those BMI rates, which we saw were so high in the previous slides. So here is the sample that we're dealing with. The schools have been divided into three cohorts based on their year of funding. So remember that they get the funding for 3 years. So as you can see, the cohorts vary a lot by size and by type of school. So we have that here, but we have actually condensed the middle and high schools for the purpose of this study, due to the nature of those schools. So students are going to many different classes a day, and they tend to have more freedom of choice in those school levels compared to elementary schools, where it's more centralized or with that one teacher per day, and they don't necessarily have a lot more choices throughout the day. So those are the 17 schools that we'll be talking about for this study. So we'll introduce the study, and then, of course, Elisa is going to talk about the findings here in a second. So we really wanted to find out the extent to which HERO schools were implementing the program with fidelity. So we know that there, you know, is going to be a lot of variability among those different domains. So we want to find out who exactly is being successful here. So we first wanted to compare all of the implementation scores over the 17 schools, and then we wanted to compare the difference by domain or those elements of coordinated school health. We'll get into the domains here in a slide or two specifically about what we were mentioning. And then we broke it up by that group I mentioned before, the elementary versus the middle and high school. So how did those implementation scores differ? And then how did the domains differ in between those two groups? So here's a little bit about how we collected the data. We conducted site visits in the spring of 2012 to each of the HERO schools. and we interviewed key stakeholders, which included the wellness coordinator, which was an integral part of the Heroes Initiative. Each school had appointed a wellness coordinator, which most of the time was a teacher within the school. We interviewed the principal as well as the cafeteria manager, and then we also observed some key parts of the programming as we could, so in the cafeteria, any kind of physical activity and things like that that were going on. So then the interviews and observations then provided us the data to actually assign quantitative scores, which we'll look at here in a second, to each of the schools. And of course, we assigned the scores using a rubric in which the evaluation team had developed in order to assign the scores per each domain. So here are these eight domains that we measured. I'm going to briefly go through them just so you have an idea of what the findings actually represent and what how cool the program is and all the different things that they had to do as being a hero school. So the heroes coordination deals with that element of forming the wellness committee and having representation from a diversity of players in the school. And then, of course, the school was to offer nutrition education and physical activity. And then the school also was expected to develop policies around those. So, you know, how are they going to enforce these new kind of things that they're putting in place that have to do with wellness? Of course, staff wellness activities along with family and community involvement, so health fairs and things like that. And then administrative support, so how supportive is the principal of this initiative in the school? And then, of course, food service, you know, what kinds of changes were they actually making to the food that was being served in the school? So here's an example of how we measured each domain. So the domains had were assigned indicators, and each domain had 2 to 6 indicators, depending on how many things were actually expected of them to implement. So here's the health and nutrition domain example. So as you can see, there were 2 indicators for this domain. One had to do with implementing a nutrition curriculum, and then the other had to do with actually incorporating nutrition education to other areas of the school besides, you know, just in traditional health class. So then schools were assigned a score 1 through 4 based on this scale. And then, of course, that is how we actually calculated the scores that Elise is going to talk about next.
Hi, everyone. So before we get into the actual findings, I just want to stop for a second and note that you'll see that in this example, we did have 1 through 4, 4 being exists and exceeds standard. We wanted to know the schools that were going above and beyond, but when it comes to actual fidelity information, all that truly mattered for our results were if they were meeting the standard in terms of fidelity to the intervention. So we went ahead and standardized the scores, converting the 4s to the 3s, the 3s meaning that they were meeting the standard. And then our total points were based on the number that they received out of the number that were possible. So for a few of those different indicators, they actually varied and weren't necessarily applicable if schools were in their first year or their last year. And so that's why our total points were slightly variable and the standardization was necessary. So let's get into our first research question, which was, what were the overall implementation scores of the participating schools? So the schools are numbered and blinded for their confidentiality, but you'll see that the range was between 73.6 with our lowest implementer and 96.2 with our highest implementer for an overall mean of 82.4% implementation. So our second research question, did implementation differ by domain? And we were glad we asked this question because we found that it did. So remember that we are out of 3 here. And so the orangey yellow is the highest implementation domain. So we see that administrative involvement, the support of the principal, was the highest, with family and community next highest. And then the ones that were at the lower part of the spectrum, the blue, were the district and school wellness policy, so awareness of those, implementation of those, enforcement of those, food service, so actually the changing nature of the food to healthier options in the cafeteria, as well as staff wellness. Those were the lowest implemented domains. So our third research question, did our overall implementation differ by the elementary schools versus the middle and the high schools? And again, we found that it did, with our elementary schools being higher in implementation than our middle schools and our high schools. And so you can see that with our middle schools, the range was 73% to 82%, while there was still quite a range with our elementary schools, but it did go much higher with the 75% to 96%. And while it is a small sample, this was a statistically significant difference. And our final research question, did implementation differ by domain between the two different types of schools? And again, you'll see with the golden being our elementary schools and the blue being our middle and high schools, it did. And so our elementary schools were really implementing each of these domains better than our middle and our high schools. And when we look for statistical significance in terms of what is truly different, we'll see that it was related to HEROES coordination, staff wellness, food service, and again, the district and school wellness policies. Okay, so what does this mean? We saw that implementation really does vary by schools, and we were happy that we did decide to dig a little bit deeper because we found that not only does it vary in general, but it really does vary by the level of the school as well as the particular domains. So this certainly leads to the question, why? Why this variance? And so as best we can tell, having been in these schools ourselves and done these interviews and observations and supported by these data, is that it really seems that with the elementary schools versus the middle and the high schools, it's really the school staff members and their ability and willingness to really take on various leadership roles. You know, being part of this initiative, we were really asking them to step up, literally and figuratively, in terms of being involved in physical activity themselves and attending programs with staff wellness, with being parts of committees and taking on leadership roles. And we did find that within our elementary schools, the staff were more able or willing to do this than in our other schools. And with that, we were also finding that in our elementary schools, there was more of an ability or willingness to modify existing policies. So for example, quite often at our schools and in other organizations, the typical fundraiser is the candy bar, right? It's what makes a lot of money. And we ask schools to come up with alternatives for this. And if that's the thing that's making a lot of money, there's a lot of resistance to that we found. And so we found that in our elementary schools, as a generalization, they were more willing to make those changes. They were more willing when there were parties at schools for birthday celebrations or holidays to bring in the vegetable trays and the fruit trays and to have those healthier options. But before we make our middle schools and our high schools look bad, which we certainly don't mean to do, we do want to mention that the elementary schools also might have it a little bit easier, right? So they aren't necessarily up against some of the same things that our middle and high schools are. So for example, perhaps our staff members feel like they're able to make more of a difference or that there's a better response because of the developmental age of the students. Also, for example, our middle and our high schools are dealing with concession stands at sports games, and we think of the nachos and the pizzas and the sodas, which are, you know, or traditionally have been the money makers, and there certainly has been in some of our schools resistance to make those changes, whereas our elementary schools aren't dealing with concession stands and things of that nature. Okay, so when we think about interpreting these data, of course, with any study, we have our limitations. So we do want to mention that these data are based on self-report, and so it is possible that that despite the fact that we asked lots of questions to try to get as in-depth and accurate information as possible, there may have been some social desirability with our wellness coordinators and principals and cafeteria managers sort of wanting to look at their best to impress the evaluators. We hope that wasn't the case, but it was self-report. These data were also based on only one particular site visit. So it's possible that in our interviews, perhaps a little bit of information was left out, or maybe we would have seen something a little bit different on a different day. Also, as Danielle mentioned, these schools were in different implementation years, and so certainly a next step in our research process is to see if there are differences based on implementation year. You know, maybe it's easier in year two or three to implement better. At the same time, maybe the schools start this grant and are highly motivated, and that quells some over time. So we're not quite sure, but we look forward to looking into that. And then, of course, external factors that we have no control over. So we did see, for example, with a wellness coordinator who is so central to this program becoming ill or dealing with budget cuts, that sometimes there are things that could have potentially impacted our results that, unfortunately, we just can't totally control for. So with that, I know we're holding questions till the end, but we look forward to answering any questions that you have. Thank you.